This podcast is a 98 Studios production.
Hey, it's Christy. Welcome back to Do the Work. Today and every day, we will talk about things that really matter. You, your thoughts, your feelings, and your experiences. Relationships are what matter most, and they can be complicated. If you'd like a better connection with yourself, with others, and with God, you are in the right place. So glad you're here. Welcome back to Do the Work. I am flying solo today as I discuss one of the chapters and topics from Edith Eger's The Gift. As I mentioned in the book review podcast, which may or may not come out before this podcast, but Edith Eger, when she wrote this book, she wrote the chapters on how to get out of mental prisons in order of how she believes it worked for her, that she, and the first chapter is victimhood. She had to get out of victim before she could see some of the other mental prisons that she had put herself in. So this is a big one. Edith says at the beginning of this chapter, she says, many of us stay in a prison of victimhood because subconsciously it feels safer. We ask why over and over, believing that if we could just figure out the reason, the pain would lessen. That feels so true. Why did I get cancer? Why did I lose my job? Why did my partner have an affair? We search for answers, for understanding, as if there's a logical reason to explain why things happened the way they did. But when we ask why, we're stuck, searching for someone or something to blame, including ourselves. Why did this happen to me? Well, she says, why not you? Maybe I went to Auschwitz and survived so I could talk to you now, so I could live as an example of how to be a survivor instead of a victim. When I ask, what now, instead of why me, I stop focusing on why this bad thing happened or is happening and start paying attention to what I can do with my experience. I'm not looking for a savior or a scapegoat. Instead, I begin to look at choices and at possibilities. Victimhood is rigor mortis of the mind. It's stuck in the past, stuck in the pain, and stuck on the losses and deficits. What I can't do, what I don't have. I'm going to stop reading from the book, but really, I could do a whole... Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just do a whole podcast of reading her book. Oh, they've done that. It's called Audible, I guess. But they don't have my input on it. Okay, here we go. The gift starts with victimhood. I hope to help you understand why she likely did that, why she started with that. So my grandma, who'd been widowed a few years earlier, moved about a mile away from us in Provo to her own condo. She started to lose her memory at the age of 62, shortly after my grandpa had passed away, and she wanted to be close to her daughter, my mother, who was moving to the city. She'd always wanted to live in the city, and Provo was as big as it was going to get for her. In the beginning, and for many years, she was able to live on her own. As she started to get progressively worse, she needed to spend much more time at our house, and truthfully, she didn't want to be there. If we weren't paying full attention to her, she wanted to go home. So she would stand in front of this ceiling-to-floor window in the family room that faced the street in front of our house and say, Janet, just point me the way and I will walk home. We would coax her away from the window and she would look out the window and, you know, see the road and know that she needed to go home. Or sometimes she'd see her reflection in there and she'd start talking to her, but to herself. But generally, she would say, point me the way and I will walk home. Over and over again, she would commit to stay, come and sit back down with us or help one of us with a job. Mom always had a basket of unmatched socks or unfolded towels that she would throw out on the floor and ask her to match or fold. But she would eventually find herself back at the window, looking out at the street, saying, Janet, point me the way and I'll walk home. Sometimes we'd let her start walking and my mom would assign one of us kids to follow her until my mom could jump in the car and take her home. Show me the way and I'll walk home. I'm wondering if any of you who are listening today could imagine yourself standing in front of a window feeling overwhelmed, unsure, unseen, tired, and thinking very consciously. Show me the way. Show me the way to connect with my spouse. Show me the way to help my girlfriend or boyfriend know that they matter. Show me the way to have a better relationship with my children. Show me the way to get out of this addictive behavior. Show me the way to alleviate pain and find peace. Show me the way. Today, I want to share with you a way to move closer to all of those things. Now, this may sound and feel harsh. You might want to turn off the podcast, but don't do it. Don't do it. I'm going to lovingly invite you to not, quote, walk home, but to walk away from victim thinking. Stop being a victim to your own life. Living in victimhood can be a paralyzing state of mind where one feels powerless, stuck in a cycle of blame and self-pity. Victim thinking involves viewing oneself as a perpetual victim of circumstances, often leading to a sense of helplessness and resentment towards the world. This mindset can prevent personal growth. As individuals struggle to take responsibility for their own actions and choices, overcoming victimhood requires a shift in perspective towards empowerment and self-awareness, fostering resilience and the ability to reclaim control over one's narrative. Choosing to get out of victimhood is choosing to live. It's choosing to accept reality as it really is. I was recently speaking to a class on, the class was home-based entrepreneurship at Brigham Young University. I was sharing my story and how I started my business after being a stay-at-home mom for 25 years. I told the class that the story, the plan for my life that I had created in my mind when I was a young girl, turned out to not be my reality, but the reality that was so much about my life was so good. I said, my young girl dreams and plan that I had imagined did not become my reality. And the whole point of me saying that was I was there to encourage them to have a plan, you know, prepare for a plan, but be willing to adjust and shift. Anyway, a young girl in the back of the class raised her hand and she asked this question, how did you learn to be okay that your plan is not your reality? Well, first of all, I wanted to go hug her because that question comes from experience. I wish I could have sat down with her and just said, tell me why you asked that question. I didn't. I went on. We then spoke about accepting reality and surrendering the outcome. This life was never meant to be about our plan. Because if we're honest with ourselves, our early, well thought out plans for our future never has pain in them. I literally remember in a class with a bunch of other girls my age creating collages. Our teacher had brought a bunch of magazines and we cut out all the things that we wanted in our life. I'm not suggesting those are bad to do, but I don't know why that's really stuck in my brain. But we put all the things that mattered to us on this paper. Nothing on that paper included pain. Think about it. When we create our plans, all boyfriends and girlfriends are beautiful. They've made only good choices to match our mostly good choices. Our wedding is right out of a magazine. In our plans, our houses are big, our cars are new, our travels are fun, our businesses thrive. Then our children are darling. They make all the good choices. We have really great jobs. We're respected and loved in the community. Our children love us, and usually in our plans, they adore us. Our spouses are grateful for everything we do, and they say it often. There's always sufficient funds and way more to do as we wish. And then we play into the sunset of our lives. Sound familiar? Go back. Think about that young plan that you had for your life. Well, I don't know one person who, when they would think about their future added into their life plans, physical illness, loss of job, infertility, mental illness, divorce, homelessness, abuse, addictions, affairs, loss of loved ones, boring jobs, little money, cancer, loss of limbs, loss of trust, and I can keep going. And yet, if each of us took a minute to think about our current reality, we are going to find these things and more in our current reality. Are you ready, with all of the love and compassion that you have in you, to allow your plan to meet your reality? This life is about learning to make choices that will help us grow and learn and progress and come closer to God. This life is about choosing to be humble and responsible and accepting our vulnerability. This life is about learning to love ourselves and others as God does. I know that this is not the message of the world that we live in, but it is the truth. One of the greatest hindrances of this truth is choosing to live inside a victim. Living with a victim mentality is really just refusing to address and accept reality. Ironically, accepting reality, no matter what our reality looks like, is where peace lies. I want to be clear. Peace does not mean without pain. Peace means surrender. Peace means content. Peace means freedom. The most miserable individuals that I know are not those who have suffered the most. The most miserable people I know are not those who have been abused, hurt, or abandoned by the people who should have been protecting them. The most miserable people are not the ones with the lowest paying jobs or with the least amount of material possessions. The most miserable people that I know are those who live in a constant state of victim. Victim sounds like this: that shouldn't have happened to me. I can't tell anyone this. It wasn't supposed to be this way. No one cares about me. This is just too hard. I can't. I shouldn't. I. Victim thinking is all about me, usually while I'm pointing my finger at someone else, or often while I'm pointing my finger at someone else. But here's the best news. Victim thinking is a learned behavior. It's a practice. It's not who we are. We didn't come out of the womb victims. We didn't come this way. We learned it. It may have been modeled for us, or it may have been just something that we learned to practice as a kid. We may have grown up in a home with really great people who had no idea how to validate our emotions. So we began this practice of victim thinking. But it doesn't have to be our future. Victimhood is optional. No one can make you a victim but you. And as Edith Eger says, suffering is universal, but no one can make you a victim. The saddest and most destructive thing I believe inside a victim is that when we believe that we are a victim to our life experiences, we actually believe that we don't have a choice, that we can't choose something different. That is a tragic place to live. When we believe that, we will disconnect. We will hurt ourselves and we'll hurt others in an effort to try and somehow find peace in our life. The outcomes of victim are disconnection with self. We see our bodies, our relationships, our past, painful or traumatic experiences as a weight instead of as gifts or opportunities to learn and progress. Now, I want to be really clear here. I am not suggesting, you know, you're living life and, you know, you run into the curb and pop all four of your tires and you're like, well, isn't that lovely? This is a gift. You know, I should just be super grateful. I am not suggesting that. I'm suggesting feeling for sure in our experiences, but to believe that somehow I shouldn't have to have four flat tires is victim thinking. The reality is I have four flat tires. That would have been a big hit, by the way. I realize that's an extreme story. But in reality, four flat tires. So what do I choose then? I feel the sadness. I feel the loss. I might have to pay for a rental car while my tires get fixed. I might have ruined the rims. But ultimately, I get to choose how I look at that experience. Inside a victim, I will live in fear. I'll be afraid of curbs. I'll be afraid of, you know, loss. I'll stop living in a lot of ways to try to never have that experience again. But that's not living. That's fear. That's victim. Victim keeps us from connecting with others. Usually we're full of victims have lots of resentments. We give others power over our lives. It might sound like this. You make me mad. You make me sad. I couldn't do that because of you. That is victim thinking. So there's so many different examples and ways to think of victimhood. I want you to think of them. I want you to consider what that might look like. I'll give you just a few. Let's say you were going to the beach and you had like 2 days to go to the beach on your week-long trip. And really, that's what you were looking forward to the very most. But guess what? You wake up and it's stormy both of those days. Victim thinking, victim living would sound like, of course, it's rainy and stormy on the day that I'm supposed to go to the beach or we were going to the beach. Why does this always happen to us? Can you hear it? Now I'm a victim to the weather. In reality, if I wanted to just move through the experience, it would sound like this. I'm so sad. I love the beach. I'm sad I can't go. This feels like a loss. And then I'd feel it. If it's me, I could even cry. I love the beach with my whole soul. But feeling the actual emotion of the loss is what gets us through. When we don't feel, guess what happens next time we want to do something outside and the weather isn't good? The beach experience and the new experience comes together and now we're really a victim. It's like we should never plan anything outside because the weather's bad. The weather's always against me. That's victim thinking. That's heavy. That's heavy to carry around. So many other examples. If you're dating someone and you're all excited, or you're not dating someone, you see someone you want to ask out and you're all excited and you've got your plan to ask them out and you ask them out and they say no. Yikes, that hurts. Victim thinking sounds like, I knew it. I should never have asked. Dating's ridiculous. Or it might sound like victim thinking there might be like, I'm never asking someone again. Reality might be, ouch, that hurt. I'm not going to take it personal. And if you listen to some of the other podcasts that have come before this one and that might come after it, all of these kind of tie together. But just recognizing where your thoughts move into victim. Some of us have had really painful life experiences, probably most of us. It was so easy in an effort to try to protect ourselves, we go into victim thinking. When is the last time that you were feeling pain and instead of thinking of all the reasons why you shouldn't be feeling this or how unfair it is that you have to go through it or berating yourself for not getting over it, what if instead you lovingly said to yourself, this hurts. It makes sense that I'm uncomfortable. How can I use my agency today to connect with myself, with others, or with God? When we continue to tell ourselves that we should not be feeling pain, we should not be having this experience, I should look different, be different, all of the things, then we'll stay stuck in the pain. Treat yourself like you would a good friend. Get out of victim thinking and ask for someone you trust to validate your experience. If we don't do that, it comes out ugly. Victim thinking comes out as anger. It can be harsh and brash and quick to hurt someone because we're hurting. Hurt people hurt people. We are generally naturally good in our hearts. Without fail, if someone is mean, it's because they're hurting. When we don't live in victim about their meanness, then we can just have boundaries for sure, but also say, hey, what's going on? That's not okay. Tell me what's hurting. When we accept our realities and move out of victim, we are available to love and see others in a way that we never could do inside of victim thinking. The greatest motivator to step out of victimhood is so that we can step into the rest of our lives, step into healing, step into deeper connections with others, step out of fear, step into joy and peace and love. I was chatting with a client the other day, and she was sharing an experience. She had come in originally because she was in a lot of pain and conflict with her spouse, and she wasn't sure how to show up in a way that was helpful. And I loved this example. She was sharing, she came in the other day and was sharing her example. And she said, my husband and I have committed to have more frequent like dates together. And so we were supposed to go to lunch, but he was busy at work. So he texted and said, hey, will you grab lunch and bring it to me? And then let's have lunch together here at the office. So she's like, sure. So she said, I went and I sat down and we were having lunch and he was telling me about all of the things that were going on at work. And then about 30 minutes in, she said, hey, are you interested in what's been going on in my day today? And he was kind of startled by her question. And she said, I mean, we're having lunch so we can get to know each other better, so we can connect with each other better. And it just, you just haven't asked me about me yet. I wanted to give her a standing ovation because the old gal would have just listened, and then left thinking, that is the worst. I hate having lunch with him. Like, this is so painful. He could care less about me. That's victim thinking. She refused to go into victim thinking, and she had listened to him, validated him, asked questions about his experience. But then instead of going into victim, she asked for what she needed, for what was important to her as well. Oh, I just loved it, which actually is later. I don't remember if she said it was that day or if it was just later. Her husband came to her and said, hey, I'm giving myself a haircut. Is now a good time? Because I really would love to connect with you. And if you're available right now, then I'll wait till later to give myself a haircut. I don't know why that kind of makes me want to cry. That's growth. That is love. That's connection. It's not perfection in your relationship. It's learning. It's growing. It's choosing to let go of behaviors and patterns that are keeping you stuck and keeping you from connecting to yourself and to others. I started this podcast by sharing an example of my grandma. And I want to kind of bring it to a close by sharing two examples of what I believe is the epitome of not living inside a victim. So I had the very sweet experience. I can't remember if I said at the beginning of the podcast, but I shared that story about my grandma. I was preparing to speak at a caregivers conference. And so I was preparing this message. And really, so my message was called Lessons I Learned from My Grandma Millie about caregiving. But really, I learned about caregiving from my mother, from watching my mom care for my grandma. And so I called my mom one day and I said, hey, will you come down? I'd like to read you my message that I'm going to give at this caregivers conference. And really, I'd like you to make sure I'm giving accurate information. Just will you correct me if there's anything that I've, you know, remembered wrong or any, you know, facts that I just want to be accurate in my presentation. And so she came down and I began to read her my message. And not too long into my message, I looked over at my mom, who I don't see get emotional very often. In fact, rarely. And tears were streaming down her face as I shared experience after experience of all that my mother had done for her mother when her mother could not care for herself anymore. And I said, "Mom, are you okay?" She said, "Yes, I'm okay. I've just never thought of it this way." As I've thought about that experience with my mom, I thought, my mom, literally, I don't remember one time ever hearing any victim thinking in her years of caring for her mother, who was very difficult by the end, before the end, a lot of the time was very, very difficult. I don't remember ever hearing my mother go into victim thinking about this. And in fact, she's just like, "Well, that's just what we do. Yeah, I just promised her I would take care of her. So I did." And yet for her to hear of the admiration and of the reality of her experience, it was emotionally overwhelming for her and so incredibly tender for me to see her see and feel validated in that experience. When I say get out of victim, I am not suggesting don't be validated, don't be seen. I'm suggesting actually the very opposite of that. We need to be seen in our experiences, and we can choose to not live in victim. I want to end with one last story of my mom, not victim, not in victim. It's just not in her. She doesn't live in victim thinking. Which, mom, if you're listening to this, thank you for modeling that. I've shared on a couple of previous podcasts about the passing of my father. Well, we had the really unique and sweet, and I think I shared this in one of the podcasts, but our whole family, all of us that were here in the state, gathered to in his hospital room after he had passed. And we sat and we sang and we talked and we laughed and we cried and we just said goodbye to our dad, our grandpa, our father-in-law, and to my mom's husband. And everyone had left the room. We were walking out, and me and a few siblings, I think, were still there, and my mom, and she leaned down and she gave my father a hug. And she said, "You didn't keep your promise. We were supposed to go together." And then immediately she said, "It's okay. I forgive you. I want you to be at peace." And she has lived that from that moment on. When we talk about dad's passing, she'll cry and she'll talk about her love for him, but she will not. She refuses to go into victim thinking about it. This is peace. This is joy. This is life. Choosing to live in your reality, choosing to feel the pain, the joy, the frustration, all of the feelings, but refusing to go into victim is where your life is going to take a huge leap forward in joy and peace. I hope you'll choose it every day. And if you're not sure where your victim thinking is, ask someone. Ask someone you trust. Find a therapist. Find a coach. Ask someone to help you see where your victim thinking lies and shows up in your life. You will have many choices in your day and in your week. I hope you'll choose to do the work.
If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, share a written experience, or ask me a question, go to coachchristy.life and fill out the podcast questionnaire, and we'll be in touch with you soon. There are no dumb questions or experiences, just opportunities to learn and do the work. Have a great week.